Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales. Natalie has been in the top 1% in the country for over 25 years. And number one in Hawaii for 2 years prior to stepping back to building Realty Universal. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally, spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And she joins us now. Hey, Natalie.
Hey there, how are you?
Doing well. Summertime. It's summertime in Northern California. So I'm loving it.
It's summertime. All over.
Sometimes.
It's just wonderful, isn't it? It's such a good time of year, I think. Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
I love that, the beginning of what you say on our show. I like that, in the beginning. And then you start to think, oh, let me see what else, you know, how you think when you get older, what you want to add to your plate, you know, what things you've done, how you've, what, you know, it's like, does that sound really good? Oh, no, we'd like to do more to serve people and help people. And you know how you kind of, they talk about, what do you want to see on your tombstone, you know, and it's not just another day of work. It's like you'd rather see that you really, you know, helped people or made a difference. And it's kind of going to lead into what we're talking about on our show today. And
what's your legacy, right? What's your legacy?
And it's funny how you get older and you start, sometimes you say, hey, you know, how we have to do this and we have to really plan it. Like we were talking, you've got your goals written down, which is awesome. And it's kind of it's really, if we don't kind of plan it, how does it end up, right? It's kind of,
somebody's going to, I don't know, somebody once said that, you know, somebody's going to, you know, you're going to have an epitaph, you know, people are going to, you know, are going to say stuff about you, your legacy, and you have, you have the option right now and the opportunity to, you know, really craft that. What do people say? You know, what are people going to say? And I know when we're gone, people are awfully nice and, oh, he was really good, he loved people, and blah, 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 blah. But you can tell when somebody's kind of just saying that and when somebody means it, you know.
Well, it's not like, you know, we're not here, I always say, I'm not here to win a popularity contest, so sorry, you know, it's like, so not always going to make everybody happy because, you know, if you're believing in what you're doing and what's right and what you're, you know, you can't make everybody happy, it's impossible. But yeah, it's just, it's nice to know and nice to serve. And it's funny, it's just so many times, you know, we do and we hear and we say, when I do this or I want to do this, and there's so many ways to serve that you can just start doing right now. You know, of course, people serve in their church, hopefully, and they're involved in a church or involved in other groups, or but there's so many other ways to serve. And today's basically for real estate agents and brokers and how you can serve. And when you're a real estate agent or broker and you're involved in the residential community, of course you can serve in the commercial community as well. But with the residential community, you actually end up dealing with so many people and getting involved in people's lives, you know. On a personal level, people tend to tell you more than they would ever tell somebody typically if you were, you know, you're meeting them in another capacity in business, you know. So gives you a lot of opportunity. And we'll get more into that
in
so many different ways.
That's so important to be doing that. I mean, and to be thinking that way, you know, how can I add value today to somebody else? And I think we, so all of us, you know, get obsessed with, you know, our needs, you know, our personal search for significance, that but to the degree that we can kind of pull ourselves out of that mindset and into how do I bless others, I mean it's obviously a biblical concept, and it's obviously, you know, it's more blessed to give and receive and all that stuff. But it's true, and I know
I can go 2 or 3 days where I'm just kind of, you know, head down, you know, nose to the grindstone. I got work to do and I got bills to pay and I'm tired and me, you know. And all of a sudden it's been a week and I'm like, wow, I've not really, I mean, thought much about other people. So I think we're all in this together. We're all pretty selfish, I think, really, truth be told. But awareness is important, and, you know, we can all help ourselves, I think, be other-oriented, you know.
Well, when you're and it's hard, I mean, because people do have to pay bills, and there's overhead, and there's, you know, it depends if you have your own businesses, if you have a job, you know, and so it's in the economy right now. I mean, some people are making money hands over fists, and some people are just really struggling, you know. So it's life can be a struggle and can be difficult, and even helping one person at a time makes a difference. But when you're a real estate agent or broker, you're already visible and you're out there doing things. So there could be situations where maybe you come across one particular case where a family needs a lot of help, or somebody's ill and they need certain help, and you're able to possibly get the community involved. You could you know, that comes up, and because you're going to be privy to more information than you may be, you know, in other situations. But it's a good idea to also join your local chamber of commerce if you're in a community and you're pretty much there full time. You can join your local chamber of commerce. You can contact the YMCA. You can talk to the schools. There's a list of things and places where you can see where maybe you can get involved, or, you know, it doesn't have to be where you have 20, 30, 40 hours a week to get involved. You might only have an hour a week. Assisted living centers, so people are so lonely in those centers, in the nursing homes sometimes, where you could possibly contact them and ask if you can come in for an hour an evening and just talk to people. But I wanted to mention this because we're always talking, of course, the first half is real estate and the second half is spiritual, about God, about motivation. And then we tie everything in, of course. But it's just that it's really beneficial, and it really helps someone else, and it helps you too. And you start to come up with other ways, too, to get involved, because it's just so easy to not – there's food pantries. There's a lot of food pantries and local food pantries all over the, you know, all over the country. I know I've, in different times over the years, I've taken my son when he was younger, or different times you say, okay, let's go help feed the homeless on Christmas and Thanksgiving. And I learned a long time ago, they said everybody thinks about that on Thanksgiving and Christmas, not everyone, but so many people. So typically the shelters have an abundance of help on the holidays, you know, on those times when everybody's thinking about let's give back and let's help and, you know, the world needs help. But it's the other times of the year and the day-to-day that they need the help, you know, so... And being a real estate agent or broker, you can get involved. You could sponsor something, or if you don't have money to sponsor it, just with your community. So there's so many ways to give back. Just wanted to be, you know, make you can make a wish list, or you can just think about. Can you think of other what other in the communities, other places?
Well, yeah,
you may go,
I mean, there is. I mean, there's so much opportunity, like you say. I mean, you know, Rotary. I know is all about
okay,
service,
Rotary.
You know, a Rotary group. I think a lot of
and Rotary's
people,
international, isn't it? The Rotary group's international.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, and they're serious about it, man. If you're serious about making a difference in your community, you join Rotary and you get put on a team and you get assigned projects all year long. And I mean, you're expected. They don't mess around, man. You're expected.
Now, what if
to
somebody only has
in.
A couple hours though? They can still get. They can get involved, right? They don't have to shy away from anything they don't have enough.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
But absolutely, you know. Obviously, little league sports teams. You know, you don't have to have a kid to be. You know, just to go out and give some time back to some kids. Big brothers, big sisters. Oh my goodness.
Oh, that's a great one. Big brothers, big sisters.
Oh. You know, there's such a need. I have a special place in my heart for, and because of my dysfunctional background, for kids, you know, especially young boys who, you know, are growing up without a father, or maybe, you know, an alcoholic father, or he's maybe in jail or whatever, not present. And You know, there is just so much. And Big Brothers Big Sisters, that's an hour a week, I think. You know, where you just there's boys and girls clubs, you know, in a given town where they do lots of things. And I think, yeah, these days you could kind of Google service opportunities.
Yeah, because it's just that, you know, we get busy with, especially, you know, when people, I know the lives that when people are dealing in the agent and brokerage side, and they get busy, you know, growing it and day to day, and then things come up and maybe an emergency will come up and somebody's involved in that emergency or there's funerals. But you could just pick one thing, you know, one thing. Okay, my heart's passionate about helping children, or those autism, you know, situations, you know, volunteering at a school, or just one thing you're thinking that you might be interested in, or like joining the Rotary Club and get involved in other items too and other things. It's just the list is abundant. But in our industry, with real estate agents and brokers, you actually have more flexibility with your time to be able to do that and get involved, get on some committees, you know. But it's a matter of just picking one or two items and not overwhelming yourself, because it's not going to be good if it's more than you can handle, if it's taking up more time. If you already feel like you have so much on your plate, that's what we want to stress, is that you can get in and do something, and you can and delegate. So that's a really – so there's Rotary. What the I guess the Manhattan – well, there's the Lions Club. Is that – that's for men or women, right? Or
yeah, Lions Club absolutely is another opportunity. Okay. Like I said, you know, kids' sports teams. You know, there's service projects. If you're handy, there's Habitat for Humanity.
That's a good one, Habitat for Homes and Habitat for Humanity.
Yeah,
you know,
or if you're more
Habitat for Homes is tied in. Huh?
Yeah, if you're more if you're more handy that way, and you know, good with tools, and maybe you're not so much a people person. Maybe, you know, it would be awkward to be with a young boy for an hour, and what do you say? And you know, that might not be comfortable for you, but you're really good, you know, you're a carpenter, you're a whatnot, you have a trade. Man, jump in and just. The point is, yeah, I think what you're talking about is making a difference, you know, with what you're good at, what you bring to the table, you know, what is the gift that you have that you can give the world. And it, you know, one is not better than the other. I think some would go, oh, it's really cool to, you know, bless kids. Well, that is, but it's also very cool to build a house for somebody who needs a home. And so
well, that's,
that
and a lot
gift,
of people, if they're real estate agents and brokers, are going to be more people, hopefully people-oriented and wanting to deal with people.
Yeah.
Some might say less than others, right? Some brokers and agents aren't going to be as people-oriented as some. And it's just the fact that we've got at our fingertips the ability to get involved, even if it is an hour a week, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And you can even call and just say, well, how can we get involved? Sometimes it's sponsoring. But I'll tell you, we get so many things and so many issues, and you're dealing with problems quite a lot in the industry, especially with the economy. The economy is booming in places, and some places is not. But it's when you take your mind off of just you and your task and what you're doing, and you go and you help and give back a little bit, even if it's an hour a week, it is so spiritually enlightening for you as a person. And it gets your mind off of just me, 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 me. And I don't want to say me, 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 me as selfishness, because sometimes me, me, me is in a survival struggle mode, and we have to think about me, right? You know.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it does something. It actually gets you out there and more balanced. And so we just wanted to mention it today. And of course, you know, there's so many things. So I'm just trying to think, what else can we put to that list? What else is there that Chamber of Commerce,
well, like
YMCA
said,
schools?
Yeah, Big Brothers, Big Sisters, Boys and Girls Clubs, Scouts, Scouting, you know.
Scouts is a good thing. There's Girl Scouts, Boy Scouts, right?
Yeah, maybe you you have, you know, outdoor skills. You know, you can do that. Golly, like I said, I think, honestly, the being a handyman or a crafty person, you know, good with tools, not only Habitat for Humanity, but you know, you could volunteer, you know, in a local school district where they may have had budget cuts and maybe they need bleachers at their local school.
God, that's
man,
a great
just,
idea. You never know what,
just
you know,
look
you could go to a school and say, hey, somebody's a handyman. They could say, okay, I'm going to help you do, you know, with that. Now, the real estate agents and brokers lots of times will know different handymen to, you know, help with listings, you know, to get things in, like they'll do handyman small jobs where they're going to prep listings or get listings in order. And that's a good idea. Maybe you could say, okay, how can we help with the school? And wait a minute, I know a handyman. Now I know another person who can do this, another person who may want to paint, you know, just get involved and see. So that's an idea. You could take on one project at a time, or you could get involved where it's a weekly thing that you're doing. Just thinking, they also have the homeless shelters and the churches sometimes. Churches lots of times have where they're sponsoring a family for a week or a day or what, or usually a week, and then they may need people to come in and spend the night and take turns at the church, you know, to help with that, with hostessing. There's just a list goes on and on and on, but I tell you, if you start doing it just a little bit, it just can really change your life and the lives of others. And I think that's, you know, in our industry, real estate agents and brokers, which is what this is about, Zephyr's Staff is today, it's just one of those other things that if you haven't done it, if you don't do it, I mean, I'm sure many people out there are doing it all the time, but if you haven't done it, try it. You'll be amazed at how wonderful it can be. And what a difference you can make. And you can make it now. It's not like when I retire, when I get this done, when I get that done. Maybe your gift is even to delegate it out, get involved where you can help, and then you're the one who's making the calls or delegating or doing something to that effect, you know? So
I have a question. I have a question for you because it just crossed my mind. Because I can imagine, you know, I think I can imagine as a real estate broker, where obviously, you know, professionalism is very important, but you can't help, you know, get involved with people's lives. And is there a protocol that you've developed over the years? Kind of a, I'm guessing you're going to say you just go with your heart, really, but kind of a protocol for how involved you get with a client. Right? I mean, they start sharing, I mean, is there something that's kind of, okay, that's more than I really need to know about? Obviously, if they're sharing crimes that have been committed or something, that's one thing. But I just can imagine putting myself in your place over the years and hearing what you may have heard, you know, and you are their counselor, you become a lot of things, I think, to your clients. But is there a point where you refer them maybe to a professional, or you decide? I guess,
well, I mean, that's a good question. But, I mean, things come up, and yeah, I think that's probably in a lot of professions, you know, where you may recommend that they go somewhere or maybe refer them to a ministry or refer them to a counselor. But typically, I don't know. I think for me, I think it's just a judgment call of you always want to be safe first. Make sure there's a safety issue there, and then keep it as professional as possible. But listen with your heart. So I don't know. It's safety
that's
would
a good
be
way
first
to put it.
Because you may be dealing with something that's not safe, and your safety is going to be priority, you know. But then when you're dealing with other family issues and divorce and things like, you know, you can refer, see what the people are doing, and just lend it. Sometimes just lending an ear is all the person really needs, you know.
I was listening to one of our previous shows the other day just because it was really good. You were talking about people who were on the fence in terms of whether they were buying or selling, and the idea of going with your heart. And if you're hesitant, really trying to figure that out. Okay, why am I hesitant? And I think you're really good at helping people sort that stuff out because you're, in one sense, you're very compassionate. On the other hand, you're pretty logical and linear. You know, and I think that, I don't know if that's by nature or by the fact that you've all these years had to go through, you know, this protocol in the real estate business.
I don't know.
Agreement. But you have this really good balance of, you know, sorting out for people, you know, how to sort out emotions. Because I think when people get emotions in a whirlwind, especially as regards a big commitment like a house, your counsel the other day in the show that I was listening to was, you know, figure that out. Go to that and say, is it just fear? Is it my first time I'm buying a house? Or you know, do you really, is there an intuition thing going on here where I just don't have a good feeling about this deal or this person or this house? And, you know, that really kind of, as I listened to it, I went, wow, that's just a great way to sort it out. And so, yeah, I see what you're saying. There's a professional way.
You're going to be able to figure that out and do it. And it's a big thing, you know, buying a house and or spending the money on the property. If there's something that's really bothering you, doesn't feel right, that is a red flag to stop and think about it, because it's a big decision. It's not like you're deciding if you want strawberry or chocolate ice cream at the ice cream store. So, you know, I think that's really important. It's life's all, you know, experiences. So it's just important to look at all that and try to balance and see what makes sense, and then crunch the numbers. And, you know, there's so many ways to figure that out and work with that. So, but I think, you know, it seems like one of the things in life is, and, you know, you and I were always talking about, it's time to heal, which is, we can say firsthand, you know, our journeys in life have really given us a lot of, you know, where you can feel the pain, feel the healing, move on. And life is really about getting engaged and dealing with life. And right now, with the way the economies are, even if, you know, people are saying, oh, I'm making money, it's going great, et cetera, it doesn't feel like that out there totally. You know, have you noticed? Because there's such a... You know, there's so much going on where people aren't trusting people. There's so much internet fraud now that, you know, even things that are legit are being thought not to be legit. So there's just a lot more fear in the world. And I think the balancing and getting ourselves engaged and balanced so that we can go and be productive in the world is really important. We talk about that a lot on this show. And that's why today I wanted to bring up, you know, go get involved in something. You know, sometimes somebody may be listening going, wow, you know, I used to do that years ago. Like, I was very involved when my son was growing up, who's now 34. You know, I was involved with the PTA and the chamber and the business and communities and things like that. I'm not involved in that way anymore, you know, so there's other things I can get involved in. But so it's important to start getting engaged. And, you know, sometimes when we back away from these other situations and we're busy helping someone else, then it lifts our spirits. We start getting, you know, we see this is life. I mean, life is going to be, there's a lot of people out there that need help in many different situations. My heart always goes out to the starving kids. I mean, literally, you know, no food to eat, you know. I'm in Hawaii right now, and, you know, you can walk back. I was coming back. I wanted to walk for the exercise from the YMCA, and there were different homeless people sleeping on the sidewalks, and some people had made tents. And I know it's a problem they're trying to work with, and it's a problem everywhere, but at least here they're not going to freeze, you know. So it's definitely an issue. So we're just, you know, I'm bringing it up. I just thought, you know, that's because we're always, we have guests on the shows. We do a lot of just tidbit shows, you know, just talking about one item. And it's my thing that I learned a long time ago, and you probably too, with speaking, you know, the big thing, say you're speaking in front of a lot of people, and one person comes up and says, oh my God, you just changed my life, or I never thought about that, right? And it's like, well, that's the one person you're there for, you know? It doesn't matter how many people it's affecting. I mean, you want it to affect as many as possible, but that's who you're really there for, the one that said, wow, when I heard this at this time, it made a difference. And I just think right now, in any industry, no matter what you're doing, you can definitely – you should be giving back or getting involved and serving, even if it's an hour a week. I mean, but in the real estate industry, with real estate residential brokerage and as an agent or a brokerage, there's always so much being thrown at you, because it's the type of industry that if you're in it in the, you know, the traditional way. Of course, we offer menu systems, and my capacity is different right now for many different reasons, but it's not like, say, a 9-to-5 job where it's totally scheduled and you're going to know that you have all this other free time or then your family time. It's where you have to constantly schedule because new things are coming in, new things are going out. There's different issues. There's different level of emergency issues. You know, kind of like if somebody's in an emergency room at the hospital, they have their triage and they have to decide, you know, who's ready to die. We need to treat them first, right? What's more pressing than the others, you know? So you have a priority issue. And it can become so overwhelming if somebody does quite a lot of business that they're not involved in any of this other stuff. And that's where it's good to look back and go, wait a minute, I can do this. I can take the time out because the world's not going to stop. The world's still going to keep rotating. You know, we're still going to – the time is still going to move. We can't stop the clock. And I can put this – I can fit this in. I can do this. And again, we don't want you to do this to the point where you're hurting yourself or the point where it's detrimental or, you know, it's just something to look at. And I'll just run down – we'll run down a couple other items because we're almost finished the first half to see what other – I know there's got to be more places. Somebody could call, what, the local government? Maybe they could call the local government, look through the yellow pages online or whatever, look for community associations. Maybe somebody's interested in people, cancer, if there's somebody's working with, you know, maybe your heart goes out to people that may have cancer and hospice, heart disease, diabetes, alcoholism, drug problems. You could actually maybe get involved and help with counseling at jails. You know, and it's fine to say, hey, I only have an hour a week. I can come an hour on Sunday and do this. But I'm just, so what else can we, let's brainstorm for about 2 minutes, if you don't mind, because we're just about the over the, what else, because it's anything and everything. I mean, you could even, of course, you have to do security checks, safety checks, probably criminal checks and stuff. You could maybe go help in a school, maybe in a kitchen in a school when they serve lunches, and all you're doing is talking to the kids, you know. They have greeters. You ever see, sometimes you'll see somebody and they're at stores and they're just, hi, how are you? How's your day? I mean, there's just, it's amazing how many different things you can do and it's making a difference. It's not, doesn't mean it has to be, so what other, any, can you think of any other groups or?
You mentioned homeless folks and again, this one you have to be a little careful with, but you know, the flip side of what we've been saying, and we mentioned several organizations you can be involved with, but literally giving back, you know, you could, you know, depending on the situation and, you know, who the person is, but how about, bringing some lunch to a homeless person, you know, somebody, you know, that you know is homeless and you maybe see them quite a bit and you maybe kind of ignore them or go on the other side of the street or whatever we do to, you know, avoid those folks and maybe, you know, maybe actually say, you know, I'm going to be deliberate and intentional about, you know, bringing them some food and sitting with them for 10 minutes. Hey, here's some food, man. I just was thinking about you. And
exactly. Great idea.
You know, again, so that's not a big, you know, that's not a big organization, or you don't have to go sign up or be approved or fingerprinted and all that like you would with Big Brothers or some of these other organizations. This is just you saying, I'm going to just going to love the person in front of me. One time somebody described Jesus as he pretty much just every day woke up and chose to love the people in front of him. The person in front of him was the most important person in the world to him.
And you know, it's
wow.
Funny you mentioned Jesus because he did not. Now you have to have safety. You've got to be very careful. We don't want you to do anything where you're going to get yourself in harm's way. And lots of times, you know, you're dealing with people that may be really emotionally unstable, and you have to be careful. You know, when you're dealing with certain people on the streets, if they're in bad situations, so you have to be careful. But Jesus didn't. Jesus hung out with everybody. He hung about with people from all walks of life, all types of people. You know, he hung out with the criminals. He hung out with, you know what I mean? He loved so much, and he didn't say, nope, I'm only going to hang out with you. I'm only going to talk to you. I'm only going to do whatever, you know? So he really always, right? His teaching always is to put your heart out there and help.
Mm. Yeah.
And also trust God, see where God's going to, you know, kind of lead you. And
yeah.
So
and
we are just about finished.
Lifestyle, yeah.
Yeah, we are just about finished. Well, I just really believe it. So as a real estate agent and broker, when people are real estate agents and brokers, you have the opportunity to have a lot more flexibility with your schedule. And and I know you can fit it in. You can fit in just that 1 hour a week. And just try it. Try it. Don't if you're thinking, oh my gosh, I've never done it, I have too much on my plate, don't think about, like, just try it. Just try it. And remember, you can always in life you can go back to what you had before. You can always go back to what you were doing before. But just try it. And don't think, oh my gosh, if I commit, I've got to commit, and then I'm gonna no. You can try it, and if it doesn't feel right, you can stop. So just see what it does, see how you feel. And I wish you the best
absolutely.
With it. And
so
we
make
are ready
difference.
To end our first half of the show.
Yep. And we really, this whole first half has been kind of a prelude, I guess, if you will, or we're gonna actually tie a big bow ribbon on the first half of the show by talking here in the second half of the show with a couple of folks who just returned from Guatemala with the John Maxwell team. And
wow.
I believe Bob Kittredge is in the phone zone. Hey, buddy.
Hey, how are you?
Hey,
good,
Bob.
Man.
Thanks
how are
for
you?
Coming on. I heard some wonderful things. Wow, thank you.
It was an amazing trip.
I bet. Dude, so here's the deal, and I believe we have, let me see, is this this might be Nathan. Hey, Nathan, is that you, man?
Yeah, I'm on here.
Hi.
Welcome, buddy. Okay, so Nathan Cook, Bob, is with us as well. One of your
right on.
One of your aficionado cohorts down there. So, Bob, talk to me, man, for a minute. Talk about what the purpose of this trip was, because a lot of our listeners may not even know, but, you know, John Maxwell took a whole bunch of his team members down there working with the government and whatnot, and talk to us about kind of what was the purpose, and then maybe share some highlights, and then Nathan, you too. But go ahead, Bob.
Well, first, thanks for getting Nathan on here, because he truly is, for me, an inspiration. I watched him this week just turn into an entirely different person. So it's great being on here with him. You know, the purpose was transformation, and that in January or so, John was asked to come down and talk to the people of Guatemala about change and transformation. And of course, he's been working down there with Equip for many years, and another organization called LARED has also been working, and then Guatemala Prospera. So there's been quite a few people working down with the people of Guatemala to really try to get that nation in a better track, in a better mindset, a better economy. The issue was it was never all going in the same direction at one time.
Wow.
And in January, John was able to go down and start to work with them and bring all the sources of influence headed in the same direction with this program. And in February, when we went to training, he asked who wanted to go. And, boy, there was a bunch of us in the mentorship program, of course, didn't hesitate to raise their hands. And when it came time to signing up, you know, Nancy and I both were able to go down, and I was really honored to have my wife, Nancy, go with me. So, and actually got to teach with her one of the days in one of the classes. So
very
that's
cool.
Kind of the background of what the program was.
Yeah, I saw pictures, man, of you guys all at the presidential palace and meeting with all these government officials. And now, I understand, was it also school districts, school teachers, and that kind of thing?
There was everything from doctors and attorneys to government officials to school teachers to soldiers at the cadet academy to generals to small business to large. I mean, it was really, when you sit down and look at it, you know, over the 3 days of training, 150 coaches trained over 24,000 people in Guatemala on transformation.
Amazing. So did a lot of people with Spanish speaking, like, right? Did they, a lot of people, do they have translators for everything, or was it pretty smooth?
No, that was the, and for my part, and I'm sure Nathan, I think, has a couple stories of this, is there were some people, some coaches that were Spanish-speaking, but for the most part, everybody used an interpreter. And
wow.
So that was, I know for me, a huge growth experience, and as Randy knows, I tend to talk a little fast, and especially when I get excited. And that was a real learning experience for me, is how do I get the material and the curriculum across to them through an interpreter, and then listen back to what he's saying they're saying. So it was, and all in 4 hours, you know, it was the time slot we have.
Wow, God bless you.
And it's always exciting working with translators, too, because one of the things that I noticed with translators was if you say something and it doesn't quite work, they'll fix it for you.
Oh, they really fix it. They don't say, they get it. They understand. That's cool.
They make you look so good.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
The great part is the interpreters, and I know the ones I had, for the most part, they had a bunch of high school juniors and seniors that are learning how to do this. Learning how to be interpreters had actually already gone through this program. So they knew the material.
Really? Wow. Oh, that's fantastic. That helps a lot.
It was a huge help because as we were talking about things and talking about points, they would be able to, you know, if we didn't say something in a way they understood, they were able to know the material and know how to get it across. And that was a huge benefit for us.
Mm.
Wow.
Well, hey Nathan, Share an experience or two you had. So tell us who you were kind of working with and maybe a couple of highlights. I know there's a lot of them, but.
Tons. Probably there are two main highlights that, you know, were probably greatest for my experience when I was in Guatemala. And the first was I got to work with a group of 50 pastors from all over the country. Some of them had traveled up to 7 hours by car just to even be at this training event to become facilitators of the material that we're teaching. And one of the two things that we stress when it comes to these roundtables, which was the training method, was that in roundtables, when you're teaching this material, you never bring up the subject of God, and you never bring up the subject religion and politics. And, you know, everyone always goes, oh, politics, you know, we don't have to touch that. But now you get 50 pastors in a room and you say, we're not going to be talking about God.
How did you do that?
The gloves came off, you know.
Yeah.
I went back and forth with them, and, you know, I probably answered about 50 questions over the course of this training session, which was way more than anyone else had. And taking something away at the very end was the fact that, you know, sticking to the outline, because if I had, you know, there were a couple times where I kind of veered off and I really wanted to get into the politics almost of religion and saying, you know, hey, you know, you're not acting like a Christian right now. But when in fact, because as soon as I did that, I started putting my own religious views into the conversation, and that just stirred even more. When, you know, in the very beginning, all I needed to say was, you know what? Religion divides people. You know, if I say God does this for me, the next person's going to say, well, Allah does this for me. And then the next person's going to say, you know, well, Buddha does this, you know, for me. And, you know, all of a sudden you have all of this division. And the point of this was to bring a country who's going in so many different directions, like what Bob was saying, and really bring them together on the same page. And when you bring in politics and religion, it really tends to divide everyone up in the room, and you get sides. And it also doesn't make you want to share because you're going to be judged for what you're sharing.
How do you do that, though? How do you do not to interrupt? How do you do that, though, without when you say, okay, I love God, but God's more reality, not just religion? So how do you do that?
Yeah, well, the great thing about the material that we had is that everyone doing this, we're being trained as facilitators. We weren't teachers. We weren't giving our own input of, you know, what one person should do. All the material that they had was there. All it was is you read through one of these values or one of these laws that they were going through, and then you would underline the things that stuck out to you. And at the end of that period, you would say, okay, well, this is the reason why this stuck out to me. And that's all you say. And then you move on to the next step, and you kind of do kind of an evaluation of where you are when it comes to this value. Do you rate yourself a 2 on a scale to 10, or do you rate yourself as a 9, and why is that? And if you rate yourself as a 2, like, what would it look like if you were able to raise it to a 5? What would happen if you could raise that number, that value number, up? And so really, instead of focusing on a group as how everyone should grow, it was about how do you grow yourself? How are you internalizing this yourself? Because the phrase that was spoken throughout the entire week was, transformation begins in me. And if you want to transform your country, you don't go to your friend or your family or other people in the government. You don't go to them. You start with yourself. And when you start to develop the values within yourself, your values, they kind of translate into your behaviors. And then your behaviors start to change the way that you do things and kind of how you act in your society. And that's really what is lacking in a number of cultures around the world, is that we just lack values. We lack the values that support behaviors.
People, the individual, right? Because people, and so many people want to go with the crowd, right? Or they don't want to, they don't want to buck the system, and maybe that's part of it too.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. There's a little bit of a delay here, I think, when we get a bunch of people on. Let me circle back for just a minute. I want to make sure, because this fascinates me. I understand, because, you know, I'm familiar with, of course, John's whole, obviously, his approach. And, Bob, you can chime in here as well, because you guys are both people of faith. This was not a, quote-unquote, missionary venture. This was, I mean, obviously that happened out of, you know, who you guys are and who John is. Obviously, God happens, so to speak. But the approach and the material was really to teach leadership to government educators and pastors. And so the material was primarily, I'm guessing, a lot of some of John's material on leadership. And not necessarily, again, like you say, even with the pastors, not necessarily spiritual, right?
Yeah. Bob, do you want to take this?
Yeah.
Or I can take it.
Because I understand.
I'm not passing it.
I'm only laughing. I totally get it. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
This was the greatest part of this program. This, what we taught and what Guatemala Prospera now has in their hands, was written specifically for Guatemala. So it's the 15 laws, as we know it, the 15 laws of invaluable growth, teamed with 15 values that Lared has been using in programs they've been doing. But they did a survey of over 25,000 Guatemalans, and these values were their top 15 that were picked.
Wow.
It ends up being a 30-week program. Each week they cover a law, then a value, and a law, then a value. And it ties everything together. And Randy, you're right. It's about leadership, but it's about making decisions through a good set of core values. How do we make, law of respect, the value of listening. One of the most powerful lessons I thought, was the value of forgiveness. When you're talking to a country that doesn't trust, you're talking to a country that holds on to old hurts for years. I mean, I had grown men crying because they had not forgiven and talked to their son in years, right?
Wow.
The program was so simple. And like Nathan said, I was like him. I tried to make it too complicated the first one, and I tried to teach it. It took very short time to realize this is not a program that you teach, but you facilitate. And truly, we all knew it's God's word, right? We all know that that's there. We
God's reading
it.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
But we all know where it comes from. And that's the greatest part about it, is leaving that out of the picture. It actually brings people together tighter. Lorette talks about where they've been doing this in Turkey or the Sudan or somewhere, We're in the room. They've got Christians and Muslims and atheists. And by the end of the roundtable, they're hugging each other.
Can we sign up? This sounds really great. Can we sign up? Can anybody can anyone get in and sign up to volunteer? You have to be part of certain groups to do it, or?
Well, this program was just for through the mentorship program for John Maxwell. We don't know what's next. And I know Nathan is, and I am too, and so's Nancy and most of the mentors. We're hoping that we're going to be able to bring this program to the United States, both to business communities, you know, church communities, school communities, families.
Wow.
We're hoping that that'll be here is on the horizon. But we had so many people saying, you know, we had one firefighter. My wife and I are both retired firefighters, and we were lucky enough to teach firefighters on the last day, and we had one firefighter came up and he asked. He said, "Can I take this to my community?" And we're like, well, that's what we want you to do, right? You know, I mean, we want you to take, it's not just for work. And we're like, well, how many? He goes, can I get 7,000 books? His village was 7,000 that he wanted to take this program. So those are the cool things that we know that it makes a difference. And you know as well as I do that in this country we have so many divisions. Religion and politics is only a couple of them, right?
And that's so true. It's so amazing. And what's the actual program? If somebody wanted to look up to get more information on it, what is it called, or is it something you can't actually do?
They could, join the John Maxwell team, huh? I mean, that's
yeah. No, I'm just asking, huh?
From what I've understood, and this is very tentative, I actually was able to speak with Paul Martinelli, who's the president of the John Maxwell Company, or John Maxwell team. And from what it sounds like, what they're trying to put in the pipeline right now is they want to take this to other countries, and they want to do one of these almost every year. That's what they want to do. So there's definitely going to be the need for people to go. But I believe what they want to do is they want to make sure that this is in-house, at least with the John Maxwell team, because
you get
a group of these coaches who have been trained and that kind of work.
Yeah.
Kind of
and many, many other, they're pros at what they're doing. They already know it, like the system so well.
And the cool thing about this whole entire trip is that, you know, we didn't go on our own merits. This, like every single coach that went on this trip was, they were deemed or they were given the name of John Maxwell. Like, we were going and representing John Maxwell. So you have to understand that a man of his caliber, and, you know, he's built his entire life on leadership, and his entire name is just gold. You can say John Maxwell about anyone, and they go, oh, man, like, can you speak with me about this? Because, you know, I've heard of him, and he's pretty amazing. So joining the John Maxwell team is an amazing step to kind of growth, you know, and it was definitely a step for me to kind of step out and do something like that. But, you know, the best is yet to come with this group of people. And it'll be exciting. And not only will we be taking this other places, but, you know, people in Guatemala, once this kind of transforms their country, they're going to start sharing this with other people. It could go into Mexico, and then all of a sudden it could be climbing straight into our state.
Wow.
We could see this change. And the cool thing is that, you know, all of the coaches that were there will be able to say that we know the people who started this huge transformational movement of leadership before it even came to our country. So... yeah.
What I love, of course, among the many things about John Maxwell and the team is what you guys have just described, you know, it's absolutely biblical principles, but really kind of, you know, not disguised by any means, but clothed, if you will, in leadership, you know, teaching that is biblical. And so where, you know, folks who, for whatever reason, might resist it if it was a quote-unquote Christian kind of an outreach. They're responding, as you described, Bob, men crying, or Nathan, you know, men crying because, you know, the material gets folks in touch with, you know, some pretty, you know, real things. And maybe they've not felt those things for years, especially men in Guatemala, where I'm guessing it's not real touchy-feely down there in terms of men having, you know, a whole lot of opportunity maybe to share. And maybe it's growing. But I love that, you guys. I mean, it's so cool.
Wow,
because
congratulations.
It is a movement. You're right. And just for a minute, we've got about 5 or 6 minutes. Nathan, talk about a little bit. I want each of you to talk about kind of what you're doing in your areas, because I know you guys are involved as well in doing some of these similar, you know, kind of leadership trainings in your area. So could you each take 2 or 3 minutes and talk about what you're doing maybe?
Yeah, actually, it was pretty fun because I got home at 12 o'clock. My flight came in 12 o'clock Monday morning. And so I didn't get to sleep until about 2:30 in the morning. And I actually had a mastermind group, which is a group of people who want to intentionally grow their leadership abilities or to grow in a certain area of their life. And I actually started a group up this last Monday at 6 o'clock in the morning. So
wow.
I got off the plane and I came home, got a couple hours of sleep, and got up, and I was going. I was ready to go. And I'm starting up a bunch of mastermind groups, trying to get people in these groups, you know, and they're free.
Is it, can we contact? How do people contact you? We have a lot of listeners that listen to the show later on archives.
Yeah. So to contact me, my email is the number 2, Nathan Cook, NathanCook at gmail.com. And really, so I have that group starting up, just started up last week. I have another one starting up Sunday. And, you know, really, I'm just excited, really, to bring back this idea of personal growth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, John talks about how if you were to spend, you know, 1% a week growing yourself, just 1%, in whatever way you want to do that, you spent 1% over the course of a year, you will have improved 52%.
That's amazing. It's like planting seeds, right? And it blossoms. Wow.
It blossoms. But, you know, we have to be able to step out and do it. And I have to say the hardest part for me was the financial aspect, you know, to invest in a book, to invest in a program like the John Maxwell theme.
Yeah.
A lot of people, I was working with the military one day in Guatemala, and I asked everyone, I said, how many of you guys know that all of the coaches that are here are not getting paid to do these roundtable facilitations?
Wow.
No one raised their hand. And then I said,
wow,
how many of you know that each John Maxwell team coach paid out of their own pocket to be here to teach you these things?
Wow.
That's huge
because it's not easy to do, number one, and most people wouldn't assume that was the way it was. Yeah, that's fantastic.
So, no, but you see, like, I saw the face of every single person in that room, and all of a sudden they realized that there was such a value in themselves. And that's
yeah.
why I internalized that, you know, so many people don't feel the value. So many people
yeah.
don't want to go all in with their bets on themselves. They'd rather put it on someone else and go, well, I think you probably have the greatest return probably that would come from it. But really, in reality, if you were to stop today, look at your finances, look at your time, and really ask yourself, how much time am I spending on myself? How much time am I willing to invest in my personal development to be the best that I can be? And when you get to that question and you really ask yourself, there's no question. You want to go all in on yourself. In fact,
yeah.
today was my last, I put in my resignation for one of my jobs so that I could fully do what I'm doing right now because it's that important. Was it tough? Yeah. Did I have to take a pay cut? Totally. But you know what? I'm going all in and I'm betting on myself. And so every single person that's out there, there's a John Maxwell coach somewhere around you, and all of these people, we all have the same mindset that we want to help people grow. We want to help people develop. So,
wow, dude, that's inspiring, man. I'm fired up, Nathan. That's exciting.
He's ready
to
go.
Bob, talk to us, man. We got like 3 minutes here for you. What are you up to?
Well, you know, on the same lines, for us and our company, we branched out beyond John Maxwell. We use his material and teachings and masterminds as our core. So we do all of those mastermind groups. As a matter of fact, we're just about ready to launch one on the 15 laws. We're also going to launch one on Napoleon Hill's, one of the basic master.
I love that one.
Personal growth is Think and Grow Rich. We have a program called Empowerment Mentoring. It is a six-month program that really delves deep into who you are and what your self-image is. And it's proven that you can never outperform your self-image, no matter what level it is. And most of us have no idea what that self-image is. So there's something there that controls us, and even though we may try to learn and try to do something different, it's like an autopilot on a plane. Just keeps bringing us back to the same old, same old. So we have that program. But I'll tell you, I'm jazzed for Nathan, for him stepping out. My wife and I both this year in March, after our February training, decided to fully retire out of the fire service. We were volunteers.
Congratulations.
In the fire service, so we can devote full time to this, you know, to this passion of helping others develop their full potential.
How do we find? How do we have anyone listening get contact information for you to be able to find out about these programs, to sign up or get more information?
Our website is KittredgeConnection.com, and they can send an email to info@KittredgeConnection.com.
Can you spell it for our listeners?
Sure. KittredgeConnection.com. Kittredge Connection.
Fantastic.
Powerful.
You know, Randy,
powerful.
Again, for throwing this out, you know, we're always there to help support you, and you've always been there to help us, you know, help support us, and we really, really appreciate the offer today to share this. And I know if Nathan's like we have been, we've been touching lives since we got back, and I don't know, we may have got 4 hours sleep in the whole week if we were lucky, but, you know, it's amazing what happens when you're inspired to help other people grow, how sleep really just doesn't matter anymore, you know?
That's amazing.
And that was one of the greatest things that was probably ever told to us the entire week, was the fact that when you taste significance in your life, success will never be enough. Never.
That is such a great point. That is such a good point.
We have all tasted significance, all these coaches that are returning from Guatemala. And we will never be the same, because we don't want just success anymore. We want significance in our lives. We want to affect the world around us. And one last thing I want to put in there about the coaches that went this last week. Not every single one was a Christian. We had people from all over the world. We had Buddhists. You know, we had people who practiced different religions, and we all came together. Four different organizations, or is it five, Bob? Do you remember? I think it's four.
Yeah, I've heard both, so I'm not sure.
But all of these organizations coming together, different reasons for their beings, and different beliefs, but we all came together for one common purpose, and that was to bring values back to a country that truly needed values. So,
wow, we were just
awesome,
mentioning
guys.
Legacy, a little bit about legacy before on the first half, and boy, what a legacy you guys are leaving.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, guys. Have a great
you.
Rest of the day. All right, man. Take care.
Thank you so much. It was
thank
a pleasure.
You very much.
Wonderful. Thank you. And to everybody out there, I wish you peace.
Thank you for joining us on Realty Universal Radio. Our hope is that you are enlightened, encouraged, and mobilized to be an agent of change. Realty Universal is on Facebook. Join us there. Follow us also on Twitter at Realty Universal. And for more information, you can go to RealtyUniversal.com. Make it a great day.